Turn your Bibles to Luke 7, verse 19. We're going to kind of pick up where we were last week. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, Sharon, come here and share what that apostle was sharing for a minute.
I had really wanted to share this. There's this man of God. He's been in 110 mission trips, 33 nations. He spent like 45 days in heaven. I mean, he's constantly interacting with angels in the glory realm. What he shared about is he said, we are moving out of the church age into apostolic centers. He said, we are moving out into apostolic centers. And then he shared about the Melchizedek anointing. And he said, that's what we are to carry right now. And he said, that will come with a mantle of authority and a mantle of prosperity. I thought, oh my goodness, that's just what Pastor LaRue said. And then he said, we need to be going to the right hand of God and be doing our intercession and everything there. And I thought, oh my goodness. Then he was sharing all about the right hand of God and that we needed to be ascending into the throne of God and doing our praying and our intercession and everything there at the right hand of God. He had a visitation with the Lord and for the end days, and the Lord had a sword and it had the rest of God. And so then I thought about all the rest of the Lord. And Pastor LaRue had done all this teaching about entering into the rest, taking your cares off, and going into that secret place of the Most High. And I thought, oh my goodness, everything that the Lord had shared with him and about the glory, the Lord had given Pastor LaRue. And then he was flowing just like Pastor LaRue had recently with the words of knowledge and healing. He would hear words of knowledge and he would release it in the glory, and people were getting healed. And you could see that there was this atmosphere of heaven around him because he had been going up to the right hand, going often, frequently, so healings would just break out. So I could see in the spirit that there's an atmosphere of heaven around Pastor LaRue, around Pastor Chuck, around those that have been ascending, where every need is met because of the atmosphere and because of the glory. So I saw the glory. I saw the atmosphere of heaven coming. And then the last thing I wanted to share was he shared about the power of words spoken, and that you, this morning, that you needed to stay hidden. And there was a businessman on the front row who's also, you know, well known, and he's also a king priest. And the man stopped and he said, you've got a sword sticking out of you. And it was because of the words that were spoken over him. He was right on the mark today, saying that we've got to stay hidden in that secret place. That is a key for the end time. We're to get clothed with the glory of God, because we are coming full circle back to the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. They were clothed with the glory. The last time, the Acts church was clothed with the glory of God. And that's where we're moving. And then it's just flowing like the Lord. It's just flowing. The power of God is being released for these 10 days. It was just so encouraging to me.
Oh, that's awesome. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus. Now, he sends them. You know, they don't have cell phones. They don't call them up. They send them. So when they arrive, there's no pigeons that flew before them and tell them John's disciples are coming. So they arrive in a random hour. I want you to just get a feel for what it was like to be around the ministry of the Lord Jesus, because it doesn't look like what our churches look like today. So he sent his disciples. He said, are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee. So they arrive at a random hour. This is what I love about this. Saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And in that same hour, say the same hour. I love that. This is what church must be, I believe, before the Lord's return. At any random hour, he said he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. Now, this is an hour. How'd you like to have been a disciple to be around this 24 hours a day, 3.5 years, 7 days a week, watching, experiencing, seeing it. I mean, just all the time. 1 hour they show up and they get a Kodak moment of what the ministry of the Lord Jesus looked like in a random hour. Love it. He said he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight in the random hour. We might not be fully there yet, but we are going to get there. One thing we get is we get determined. Amen. It's a determination. That's what these constitutions are about. Well, you want to print it or get one. You should have this because this is, it's called a constitution for revival. Every sign, miracle, and wonder in the entire Bible is in here. Right here, most in the New Testament for sure. They're all categorized. We captured and said, God, you've done this. Then you said, the works you do, we'll do also. You know, he stood in front of that nobleman of Capernaum. You know the first thing he told him? He said, if you don't see signs and wonders, you won't believe. That's what he told him. In other words, I couldn't preach to you that I know the Father, and the Father sent me, and the Father's in me, because you can't hear my words. You can't believe what I say to you. The only thing that's going to penetrate that is miracles. He told him flat out. Unless you see miracles, you will not believe. Thank God he could deliver it. Amen. Told him twice in John 10 and John 14. He said, if you don't believe what I say to you, then believe the works. Boy, wouldn't it be nice for the church as a whole to operate like that all the time, everybody? You go and tell them about the Lord and say, look, you don't get in a theological debate, you know, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe, so follow me. Could you imagine? This is the way the gospel's supposed to be. We have to enter into these things by faith. We have to see it. And I had an issue, and I needed a tissue. Because of this scripture right here, this is what I'm sharing with you. He said, in that same hour, verse 21, this was my issue. He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and many that were blind, he gave sight. That'd be nice to have it in 1 hour in church on Sunday morning. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said to them, go your way. Tell John those things you've seen and heard in this hour you have arrived. Go tell him what you've seen. Go tell him what you've heard. This random hour. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have a meeting scheduled. They just showed up, and this was what was going on. Obviously, in that hour, because it's impossible the Lord to lie, this is what happened in the random hour they showed up. The blind see, because he said, go tell them what you've seen and heard. What you've seen. The gospel is supposed to be seen. What you blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. Have you ever seen a leopard cleanse? Heard about it. I want to see it. Of course, a lot of them, they hide them. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached them. I said, that's it right there. That was my issue. What's your issue? That was it. Those disciples got to walk with that kind of anointing. You don't see that very often. Very rarely do you see that kind of anointing like that, creative realm. To be able to walk in that for 3.5 years, to be subjected to that, it would change your mind on how church is done, I can tell you that. It would forever change your mind on how church is orchestrated, about how systems are created in church. It would change your mind. It would ruin you. Could you imagine walking in to a dead denominational church after that? I'm not against denominational churches. That's why I said denominational. But just a dead church. Put that way. Could you imagine walking like that, seeing that, and walking in church and listening to somebody while all the traditional dead spirit in there? It would ruin you. Forever. In a good way. Because you'd never be the same after seeing something like that. You'd never be the same after watching that happen over and over and over. Time it was for Peter and them to come out of the gate, they were ready. Their belief system had been subjected to that operation. There was no unbelief because the Lord, through just a constant operation of the Spirit, and seeing it and seeing it and being exposed to it over and over and over again, they had faith for it. He left them full. And I said, Lord, that'd have been nice to hang around you like that. It really would have. I would have given anything to be one of those guys. But he told me, you're going to die for this. I said, it's fine. I'd give anything for it. He said, you know, you can still have that. He said, my word. And that was actually what spawned this book called Behold the Mirror, which we produced this about 8 years ago out of timing. We're always about 10 years in front of things. It's the way it is. Sometimes when you're too prophetic, you arrive too early. And you get to sit at the gate, you know. That's what happens. If you get super hungry, you'll arrive at your destination too early. Anybody ever arrive somewhere too early? Had to wait and wait and wait. Because your spirit has arrived. Everything else has got to catch up. Your maturity level's got to catch up. There's a lot of things, but your spirit's there. The Lord said, my word is just as powerful to subject yourself to it. So I took every sign, miracle, and wonder, the entire Bible, everything, Old Testament, New Testament, every scripture, put it in this little book called Behold the Mirror. Beholding the mirror of His Word. Looking at it. Beholding. Subjecting the belief system to a gospel that we don't get to see like that every day. We get to see it, we just don't get to see it every day like that. We get to see twinklings of power. To be able to subject ourselves constantly to a 100-fold mantle. Mantles you don't get to see very often. It's either that or you just settle in the church. I mean, that's the choice you get. Settle in or go for it. Period. That's the way it is. And so at a random hour, they were seeing the dead raised and the blind eyes open and deaf ear and lame. Golly. Could you imagine the expression on a child whose eyes pop open right in front of you? And the moms and the dads and the joy and the astonishment. Astonished beyond astonishment. That's what we're contending for. That's what we're fighting for. That's what we're going to operate like this until this veil breaks. We're going to operate what we have. We're going to keep looking at the greater. We have vision. We have a compass. We want something. Not a powerless gospel where we just spin our wheels. We want something. If it's not there, we want to keep looking at it because He already promised we could walk in it. If He said it, we can do it. Whatever lies between us and that place, we're further along than we were last year. We're further along than we were a month ago. All I need is one crack in the door. I don't care if one healing comes. That's all I need is a crack. Because if we can get that crack in the door, the river's coming through it. The river's coming through, amen? Say, the river's coming through. You ever seen it? It'll just push and push and then pow. It's like one crack in the dam and a little bit of water's coming through. And you don't know if that dam is about to bust wide open and that river's coming through. Turn to Mark chapter 1. You know those deep sea divers, they have that metal helmet they put on, you know, and it clicks in. They have to go into the deep, and it's compressorized and all that. I just saw that as he's standing here. And he said, I'm giving you special cover. You know, the helmet of salvation. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm giving this place that helmet to go out into the deep. He said, you're going to need certain things to go out into the deep waters with God. You have to have a certain covering and protection on you to go out into the deep with God. Because He just doesn't take you out there. He gives you certain armor to put on. This is armor for the deep. That's that Navy armor. They can go, them divers can go way down there and they walk in the deep. He said He opened the fountains of the deep. He opened the fountains of the deep. Father, release that in this place right now. Set that armor upon us. Put that helmet upon us. Put a new helmet. I see the Lord putting a new helmet upon you. One that can carry the deep things, can cause you to go out into the deep and withstand the pressure. Because there's pressure in the deep too. There's pressure, but God's armor will help you withstand the pressure. You see the works of the Lord and the wonders in the deep. You got to go out into the deep. You got to have a helmet on. I receive that helmet right now. See what he's saying? You see his wonders in the deep. You got to have a special armor around you to do business in great waters, because you're going out in the deep and there's pressure out there. But the Lord says, I have you contained under the shadow of the Almighty. I have you under a pressurized system of the kingdom of God. I have a glory. I have a glory that can cover you as you go out into the deep. You can do business in great waters, says the Spirit of the Lord. Release the helmet, Father, to protect the mind. Release the shield to protect the heart. Put that armor of the deep on. He goes to Peter's house and he gets Peter's mother-in-law healed. That's a miracle. Gets her healed. I saw it, actually. I meditated so long, I saw he did it. There's several of the miracles in the Bible. I saw him raise that woman's son from the dead in the city of Nain. I saw the crowds converge. I watched the whole thing in the spirit. It was really powerful. He stood over and he took his hand and he went like this. You can meditate the word long enough. You can actually move into it because it's a living word. And he went like that. She was sick of the fever. And he walked right in her house and he went just like that with his hand. And he rebuked the fever and it left. Sickness left. Just immediately, he took her by the hand. She started serving him just like that. Then the revival hit the city of Capernaum. We are going to walk like this. I'm telling you right now, the apostolic sinners are going to emerge everywhere with power and glory. Hallelujah. Verse 32, and even when the sun did set, you'll have to meditate another verse, because this one says he took her by the hand. But there's another verse that said he rebuked the fever, because I watched him do it with his hand. He was just like that, and he rebuked it. It's awesome. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all, say all. Man, that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. How much? All the city was gathered together at the door. Listen, the power of God's upon you. They'll come to you. They'll fill. They will jam the doors. Jam them. His own family couldn't get to him, and they had to tear the roof off the place. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. And suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. This is the part I like. You got to meditate sometime to see these things. Watch this. This is what revival looks like. What I just said is what revival looks like, but this is also what revival looks like. Ready? Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What time's the sunrise? Anybody know? I'm a late nighter, so I'm rarely up when the sun rises. 6? Okay, say 6. So a great while before 6 o'clock would be what? 3:34. Let's say 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock's early. I go to bed sometime at 4. Rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, watch this, 4 o'clock in the morning, they said unto him, all men seek for you right now. When revival hits, they will stay up all night. The whole city was looking for him at 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't go home when revival hits, because the life and the power of God elevates everything. You kind of do, but you understand the whole city was looking. Do you see the increase and the multiplication and the power and the life that's being released to where everybody had stirred the whole city at 4 in the morning? They were so stirred that when that revival hit that night, just pow, They were looking for him. Nobody went home. Everything got elevated. 4 a.m, everyone's looking. What happened to us? Where is that man? That's what revival looks like. Luke 22, you're going to like this. While you're going to Luke, I'll read Mark 7. It's one of my favorite verses. Just trying to give you an inside picture. Mark 7, Luke 22, verse 2. It said, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. So he had to go and have a meeting. We're going to betray him. We have one problem. Do you know what the problem was? Next verse. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitudes. So we got a problem. I appreciate the money, but I can't get him alone. There are people around him all the time. I know, I do crowd control every single day. I have to seek the opportunity to get him alone in the absence of the multitudes. That's called the press. When that kind of power is flowing, my friends, they will jam the doors of any place.